As Carl von Weizsäcker once explained it to me, classical physics accepted a mechanistic worldview in which certain universal physical laws, including gravity and the laws of mechanics, effectively determined the pattern of natural actions. In this model, there were four objective realities: bodies, forces, space, and time. And there was always a clear differentiation between the object as known and the subject who knows. But relativity in quantum mechanics, as von Weizsäcker put it, suggests that we must abolish, as a matter of principle, the separability of subject and object. And with this, all our certainties about the objectifiability of our empirical data. Yet, and this is something von Weizsäcker insisted upon, the only terms we have for describing quantum mechanics and experiments which verify its new picture of reality are those of classical physics, which quantum theory has disproved. Despite these problems, von Weizsäcker argued that we constantly need to search for the coherence in nature and for an understanding of reality, science, and the place of humanity that is more correct according to the latest scientific knowledge. In the light of such scientific discoveries, I feel that Buddhism too must be willing to adapt the rudimentary physics of its early atomic theories despite their long-established authority within the tradition. For example, the early Buddhist theory of atoms, which has not undergone any major revision, proposes that matter is constituted by a collection of eight so-called atomic substances: earth, fire, water, and air, which are the four elements, and form, smell, taste, and tactility, which are the four so-called derivative substances. The earth element sustains, water coheres, fire enhances, and air enables movement. An atom is seen as a composite of these eight substances, and on the basis of the aggregation of such composite atoms, the existence of the objects in the macroscopic world is explained. According to one of the earliest Buddhist schools, Vaibhashika, these individual atomic substances are the smallest constituents of matter, indivisible and therefore without parts. When such atoms aggregate to form objects, Vaibhashika theorists assert that the individual atoms do not touch each other. Support from the air element and other forces in nature help the constitutive elements cohere into a system rather than collapsing inward or expanding indefinitely. Needless to say, such theories must have developed through critical engagement with other Indian philosophical schools, especially the logical systems of Nyaya and Vaisheshika. If one examines Indian philosophical writings from antiquity, one senses a highly stimulating culture of debate, dialogue, and conversation between the adherents of different schools and systems. These classical Indian schools, such as Buddhism, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Mimamsa, Samkhya, and Advaita Vedanta, share basic interests and methods of analysis. This kind of intense debate between schools of thought has been a primary factor in the development of knowledge and the refinement of philosophical ideas from the earliest period of Indian Buddhism to medieval and modern Tibet. The earliest known sources of the Buddhist Vaibhashika theory of the atom may be Dharmasri's Essence of Higher Knowledge and the acclaimed Great Treatise on Instantiation. The first is generally placed by modern scholars sometime between the 2nd century BCE and the 1st century CE. Although this work was never translated into Tibetan, I'm told that a Chinese version was made sometime in the 3rd century CE. Dharmasri's text represents a sophisticated attempt to systematize the key standpoints of earlier Buddhist philosophy, so many of its basic ideas must have been current for some time before its composition. In contrast, the Great Treatise is a composite text, dated sometime between the 1st and 3rd centuries CE. The Great Treatise establishes the tenets of a specific Buddhist philosophical school as orthodox and responds to the various objections raised against these tenets by providing them with a rational philosophical foundation. Although the arguments of the Great Treatise are familiar to Tibetan Buddhism, the work itself was never in fact translated in full into Tibetan. On the basis of these two texts, especially the latter, Vaisubandhu, one of the great luminaries of Indian Buddhist philosophy, wrote his Treasury of Higher Knowledge, Abhidharmashoka, in the 4th century CE. This summarizes key points from the Great Treatise, subjecting them to further analysis. It became a standard work on early Buddhist philosophy and psychology in Tibet. For example, as a young monk, I had to memorize the root text of Vaisubandhu's Treasury.